Today's scripture reading will be coming from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. That's John chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. And it reads, "Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd."
It's good to see everyone here this morning to come to a study portion of what God's Word has to say. Thankful to be here on this morning to be able to stand and to preach God's Word. And if you're visiting with us, we want to let you know that you are indeed our honored guest. And we're thankful for you being here on this morning. If you will, we're going to be talking about deacons in the church, and I want us to turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Mark chapter 10, 35 through 45. And I want to approach this from the words of Jesus. I thought it was pretty interesting that when the elders asked a few of us, myself, Brother Brian, Brother Rick, and Brother Royce, who will be speaking tonight, to speak on elders and deacons, their responsibilities, their roles, qualifications. I was very thankful for that and the foresight that they had for us to do that. And the more that I was studying these roles, of course, the older you get in Christ, you begin to look at Scripture a little bit deeper. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to look at the Scriptures and keep on looking at them. Keep in mind that it is a living book. It's a living book. God's words are living words. John 6, verse 63. Therefore, you're going to keep learning from what God's word has to say. It's interesting that when I was studying the roles and responsibilities of deacons, the word that I found, or the words that I found in the original language, that Jesus would capitalize on those particular words. And the apostles would use those words in a very formative sense. When we consider Mark chapter 10, let's read verse 35 through 45, and then we'll begin some of our words for this morning. "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Grant us that we may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, We are able. So Jesus said to them, You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus gives us these events that were taking place with his disciples. James and John wanted a particular place in glory. They wanted a place of prestige, if you will. They wanted a place that they could be honored, right hand, left hand. Jesus uses this request of pride. And friends, that's what it was. It was a request of pride to show them and demonstrate to them a lesson of humility. When I look at Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45, this is a great lesson, not just on service, not just on the work of deacons, but also humility. Here, Jesus, in verse number 43, has something interesting to say that's worthy of our consideration. Verse 42, rather. He says, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles, listen to this, lord it over them. And their great ones, listen to that, their great ones exercise authority over them. Jesus here is about to address this situation. That if a person truly desires to be a great one, Brother Royce, they must be a slave of all. A servant of all. Notice verse number 43. Yet it shall not be so among you. Now he's talking to his 12, and this is important. He's talking to his 12 disciples, his 12 servants. He says, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Now, when we consider this, friends, it's interesting that Jesus would use the same word as relates to servant that Paul would use in 1 Timothy 3, verse 10 and 13, that Brother Royce is going to be dealing with tonight, and it is deacons. It is interesting. He first says that if one is going to be humble, he must be great, rather. He's going to have to be a slave of all. The word slave there is the Greek word doulos. Now, many people today don't want to look at themselves as slaves. To no one. Period. But Jesus uses the word slave, doulos. But then he comes right back around and he uses the word diakonos, servant. Now I want us to take notice of this. Because when we consider the word diakonos, the translators, especially when you consider the New King James Version, decided to use the word servant. It's translated. But here, Paul uses the same word by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 and 13, and he transliterates it. At least it's transliterated in the English, deacon. That's a proper translation. That's a proper transliteration. Y'all pay attention. This is going to be very important. Because when we consider the work of a deacon, when we consider the work of a servant, if you will, here, Jesus uses this word in a very generic way. Yet the Holy Spirit inspires the Apostle Paul to use it in an official way. Two different ways. Friends, the beauty of Bible study ought to captivate our attention. And no wonder the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, would say in Philippians 1 and verse number 1, as he addresses the bishops and deacons. Now, that's interesting. But I want us to take notice of something. Look at verse number 44, because we'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. And whoever of you desires to be first of all, that shall be slave, there's our Greek word doulos, of all. That's interesting. A doulos. One cannot be a diakonos of Christo, of Christ, unless he or she is first a doulos. One cannot be a deacon official in 1 Timothy 3, verse 10 and 13, unless they are first a Christian. It goes in that order. We consider this, friends, and this is very important, because as we are learning more and more about the words of Christ, here we see that when Jesus uses the word diakonos, deacon, servant, he identifies it with a service. Notice verse 45. Verse 45, notice what the Bible there says. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, that's diakonos, but to serve, that's diakonos, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now the reason why I want to bring this particular word out right here is because Jesus identifies his service with a particular work. The work that he is identifying his service to is the cross. So here we find that God sends Jesus Christ for a particular work. That work was to save man from their sins, identifying his service to the cross. Now, here's the reason why I want to bring this particular point up as it relates to why we want to install deacons, if you will, or why deacons ought to be installed. Deacons ought to be appointed or installed because there is a service needed. You're not appointing deacons or should desire to be appointed a deacon just to have your name on the roll, I'm a deacon. But you are. The elders are mindful that here is a service that needs to be had. We need a man that's going to occupy and fulfill that service. Now, the world that we live in today, people are deacons, at least in their organizational structure. Matter of fact, time out. Time out. Let me go ahead and say something real quick. When you consider the organizational structure of the church that Jesus built, the Lord's church, Ephesians 4:11 through 16, you have elders, you have evangelists, you have teachers. Ephesians, Philippians 1 and verse number 1, you have bishops and deacons. Here we understand that God has an organizational establishment. You have elders, you have deacons, you have ministers, you have teachers, you have members. Now, keep that in mind, because the world in which we live in, you have senior pastors, you got reverends, you got priests, you got popes, you got all of those different things that the Bible does not validate nor sanction. Okay? That's the point I want to make there. And that's a very important point, because when men get away from the organizational structure of the Bible, they get away from God. Why? Because God has left an organizational structure. Now, let me go ahead and say something that you might not even thought about or maybe not even agree with. But when you consider Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. Yet he's the head of the church. That's interesting how God did that. He put him on the bottom and on top. But here, when we understand the leadership are the greatest servants in the church. They're on bottom, yet God put them in front as leaders. You know who's the important member, the important people in the church? Really all of us, but the members. You got elders who are the greatest servants. Then you have your deacons, and then you have your ministers, then you have your members. And all of the leadership is to help the church grow into that mature man. Guess what? Y'all are so important that God says, I need leadership that's going to serve on the bottom and lead from the on top. That's how important you are. That's a beautiful thing that God has did had done. which is contrary to what Jesus said as it relates to the Gentiles and how they lord over them. They're either out front or they're lording over the people, but they don't see themselves as servants to the people. That's a big difference. And if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll bring in the worldly establishment into the church and we'll get away from this. All right, now back into the game. That time out, all right, we got our break. Let's go back to the lesson. When we consider, now think about this, friends. When we think about the identification of deacons, we see that this was even during the life of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that his disciples, his apostles, who were preachers, God or Jesus Christ would have them to go out and do certain tasks, if you will. Remember in John chapter 4 and verse number 2, there the Bible says that Jesus was baptizing, yet Jesus himself were not baptizing, but his disciples. They were doing a work of service. His disciples, even though he was training them to be preachers, he had told them to be diakonos, servants, deacons, if you will. Here we understand that Jesus also told them in Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, go fetch me a donkey. You remember he was going to be going through Jerusalem, the triumphant entry, and they went and they got that donkey. They fetched the donkey. They was doing a work of service. Remember he told them in Matthew 26, 17 through 19 to go prepare the Passover. Now think about this. The reason why I'm bringing these three points out is because his disciples understood service before they went out and they served. Guess what? A deacon, a man who desires to be a deacon, ought to understand the ramifications and the qualifications and all the work that's entailed into being a deacon before he is installed as one. Now, I want us to consider. We think about the work that a deacon does. In the particular word itself, listen to the definition. In the definition, the idea is one who takes on the command of another. It's an illustration of kicking up dust. It's a man that kicks up dust as he runs. He stands out because of the work that he is doing or has done and the attitude that he does it with. He's different. He's not lazy. He's not lethargic. He's not lifeless. He's a worker. That's interesting. That when we consider the qualifications of deacons, and Brother Royce will deal with this on tonight, friends, those are the qualifications or the attributes of all people, all men in the church, but we know that all Christians, especially men, don't do that. They're the ones that are kicking up dust. They are carrying out the commands of another. That's exactly what the apostles did when they went out and they were searching for the donkey. Or when they went out and they prepared the place for the Passover. When they were baptizing, if you will. They were taking out or performing the command of another. This is why, and notice this, friends, that you cannot have, listen to this, you cannot have deacons without elders. Why? Because elders are the ones who are rulers over the church. They are the ones who are leading the church. They are the ones that have the authority, and the only ones that have the authority to give orders for a deacon to run with. Amen. But that's not what we see in the religious world, but that's what we see according to the Bible, the Word of God. So when we consider the work of a deacon has to begin with these mentalities. What mentalities? Identification and service. Now, let me go ahead and throw this in. Now, this lesson, literally, as I was preparing this, and I thought I was going to be chilling out this morning, so I didn't bring my rag up here. But we'll make it work. Y'all relax a little bit. This is why, friends, we ought to be teaching our children that they should have a desire to be future leaders in the church one day. It doesn't start when they're 35 and 40. It doesn't start when they're 20 and 25. It starts when they're little bitty. Listen to this. This is why our children must have jobs assigned to them at home. It gives responsibility. And when those responsibilities are addressed and completed, then rewards follow. The opposite is true. But if there is no structure and the children have nothing to be responsible for, listen, then we set them up to be irresponsible, inconsiderate, and ultimately incapable of being servants of the Most High God and even their fellow man. Friends, we give our children chores. We give them things to do. Why? Because we want to teach them responsibility. Why? Because when they become members of the Lord's church, there are no pew packers, if you will. You just can't sit the pew. You got to get in the game. And this is why, friends, it's important that we're teaching our children, young men and young ladies, teaching them how to be responsible. If not, they will become self-seekers, selfish individuals who have become hard to deal with and as seeming adults. Think about that. Friends, we want to teach our children. We want to train them up to be elders in the church and deacons in the church and preachers in the church and members of the church. We want our young ladies to be married to elders and to deacons and to preachers and to members. Why? Because when they are brought up in that way, then the church will go forward. What is the responsibility of a deacon? Number one, it starts at home when they're little bitty. Oh, friends, we can raise deacons and elders even now. They have to be trained. They have to grow up. They have to know what is right and wrong. And friends, let me say this. When they're taught these things, they become good employers and good employees. And everybody, even the world, it's interesting. Let me just say this. It's interesting that even the world sees that there is a laziness in the workers today. You don't have to be a Christian to see it. There is a laziness that goes on. And guess what? A deacon in the Lord's church can't be lazy. Why? Because he is identified with a service. And this is why when you think of the three main things in Christianity, especially as it relates to the local church, evangelism, benevolence, and edification. When you have a man assigned to a particular work, and we'll get to Acts 6 here in a few minutes and use that as an illustration. When we think about that, we want to assign men who are actively involved already. Men who are already kicking up dust behind them. Men who are not lazy and lethargic and lifeless, but men who have a lot of zeal and a lot of passion for the word of God and for people and for the church and for the world. Why? Because they need to be workers. They need to be workers. So, number one, we tell our children, now, I want you to be a leader in the church. Why? That glorifies God. Number two, let them know that these qualities and qualifications are there so they can be mindful of them. And number three, let's point our children in the direction of leadership and demonstrate to them that God will take care of them completely. You know, I've heard this before. I don't want my child to be a preacher because, you know, the brotherhood really treats them bad. That's a wrong reason. That's a bad attitude. We need preachers in the Lord's church because we need somebody that's going to proclaim the gospel. We need elders in the Lord's church because we're going to need somebody that is going to be an example and also make good, wise decisions in matters of expediency. We need deacons in the church because we need people that's going to serve the physical aspects of the church. We need them. We need them. Oh, there is not a lot of information as it relates to the Bible concerning the roles and responsibility of deacons, but there is much to infer, if you will. Therefore, the role and the responsibility of deacons begins with identity. If a man doesn't know who he is, if he doesn't realize that he is identified as a doulos, as a slave of Jesus Christ first, Philippians 1 and verse number 1, he will not make a good diakonos. Let me give you an example. A man becomes a deacon, elder gives him a task of, let's just say, driving the bus. Someone makes him mad. and he says, you know what? I'm a deacon, but I don't want to drive that bus no more. You know why? Because I don't like him. It's a bad attitude. It's a bad attitude. The deacon is responsible for cleaning the building. Well, he cleans the building, and things just don't go well. I don't want to do this no more. Why? Bad attitude. You know what? We work because that's what God wants us to do, work. We work because the elders have asked us and given us a task. And one thing I love about how Jesus was working with his disciples and giving them chores, if you will, giving them tasks to work out. You know what a minister is? Diakonos. One brother said one time, he said, I don't know why preachers get all upset when people treat them like servants. That's what they are. They're servants. But one thing about our master, Jesus Christ, he always treats us good. He never mistreats us. Well, one thing, if you have good elders, and friends, we have some, deacons ought to be treated well. When they're given a task, they ought to do it. And they ought to do it because, number one, they are a doulos. They are a doulos who is identified with righteousness. Romans 6 and verse number 18, not unrighteousness. Listen to this. Diakonos views a servant in relationship to his work. He is identified with his responsibilities. However, a doulos is viewed as a servant in relationship to his master. To his master. No wonder. Look at Matthew 6. Look at verse 24. And let's notice how Jesus uses this particular word, doulos. I think this is very interesting and gives some insight for us. And it's interesting how Jesus uses these words together. Yet, they're different. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24, Jesus said, no one can serve doulos, two masters. For he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot doulos, serve God and mammon. It's interesting that he uses those words like that. Yet, in the Mark account, we see that he uses the word diakonos, service. And Jesus said, I did not come to be diakonos, but to diakonos. I did not come to be served, but to serve. And then he identifies his service to the cross. Give my life a ransom for many. Guess what? When a man desires to be a deacon, or if his name is put up as a deacon, and they ask him, hey, do you want to be a deacon in the Lord's church here? We need some help here in this particular area. We're going to give you a task so you can perform that task to see if you can actually do the task and be what we need you to be to help the church go forward in physical ways so we can deal with the spiritual matters. So we as elders can deal with the spiritual matters and Brother Bonner can deal with the preaching. Can you help us in that area? They ought to be able to say, yeah, I can do that. That's the right attitude. You know, one thing I learned in this study, Brother Dennis, where one of the roles and responsibilities is to have the right attitude. The right attitude, a servant. One time, you know, just yesterday, you know, I was eating and I was thinking about this and I was putting that fork in my mouth. And, man, this fork is not telling me, hey, don't put me in your mouth. Don't put you. Sometimes the doulos and the diakonos want to tell the master, don't use me that way. No. Well, when I pick that fork up, that spoon up, if I want that ice cream, if I want that cake, I want to stab it, I want to put it in my mouth. We ought to allow God to use us the way that he desires. He desires. So when we consider the office of a deacon, it's different from any other servant in the church. It is an honor to be in the leadership of the church. Last week we talked about the roles and responsibilities and the qualification of elders. It's an honor. Brother Dennis, Brother Don, if Rick was here, I would say, Brother Rick, it's an honor to be an elder in the Lord's church. Honor. It's an honor to be a deacon in the Lord's church. An honor. It's an honor to be a gospel preacher in the Lord's church. It's an honor. What a great honor that is. And it's interesting that we find honor in so many things, but we ought to find honor in what God finds honor in. Guess what? It's an honor to be a member of the Lord's church. It's an honor. So we've considered these things. You know, there are five other words that have the idea of service. Let me give them to you. We discussed doulos and diakonos, but there are a few more. One of them is the idea of a subordinate. It's identified with the teacher or the preacher. Brother Royce, I don't know if you've seen this particular word in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 4, verse number 1, but the idea is the idea of an under-rower in a warship. Now you think about that. Here, if you lump all seven Greek words that pertain to service, and I know God wants us to put them all together, yet there's some distinctions in them, but you put them all together. When you think of a deacon, he's an other roar. He's working it too. This is why we got to teach our children to be workers. At least in the church, we're workers in the church. Forget what the world is doing. Forget what they're teaching their children. I could care less than you should. We care about what does God say on what to do. He is the example. He is the one that gives us the rules. There's another one, a minister in a public way. The idea has a military backing around it. Another one is one who is employed for hire. Another one is one who lives in the same house as another. Now, consider that one. When you think of a servant that lives in the house of another, a deacon is one who lives in the house of God. He is one that is working for the church. He doesn't necessarily work for the elders. He works for the church. But the elders are the one that give him what he ought to be working on. Friends, this is so powerful. And when we stop and we consider these things, we know that God wants deacons to be working. He wants all of us to be working. And he wants us all to be working hard. So the more we consider, look at Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, verses 2 through 4, we have an illustration. We have an illustration here. Now, make no mistake about this. When you consider Acts chapter 6, verses 2 through 4, these are definitely special servants. However, they are not deacons as it relates to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through verse number 14. But we can use this as an illustration. An illustration of men who ought to have the right character, reputation, the right attitude and mentality based upon the Word of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. You can put in miraculous if you want there. But we know that these men ought to be a people of wisdom. Guess what? When you consider the qualifications of deacons, there are more that are added. But make no mistake about it, these are included. Those ideas are included. But then notice, this is beautiful here. Start at verse 1. Now in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, notice the language here, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in their daily distribution. That's the issue. That's what needs to be handled right there. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable, listen to this, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, one thing that he's not doing, friends, is diminishing the serving of tables. He's not diminishing that. But there is a reason why they're there. And that is the word of God. They got to be preaching the word of God. Look at verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men, good reputation. And Brother Royce will be dealing with that on tonight. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, this service. Now, it's interesting that everything that we studied up to this point lines up with this. And it lines up with what Jesus became a deacon, if you will. He was sent to do what? To take care of a sin problem. And no wonder he said, I came to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. This is why I came. Guess what? These men were appointed for this business. And when this business was completed, their deaconship was over, if you will. But keep in mind, when we consider the work of the church, there's always work to be done. It's always work to be done. Look at verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually, this is why I want to make this point right here, to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We have a different service. We have a different service. You know, there's one thing, Brother Mike and Brother Brian and Brother Royce and Brother Rick, you know, we're all preachers, and got Brother Raphael, and, you know, we're preaching the word. But if we had to preach the word and go pick up people and go cut yards and go serve tables, and we'd never get nothing done. I love talking to people, but I know every Sunday morning comes, I got to spend time in the book. I can't have the attitude as a preacher, well, I already know that subject, I'm just going to preach what I preached a year ago. No, I owe you more than that. I owe God more than that. It's the same for a deacon. A deacon ought to be in the Word of God all the time. Elders ought to be in the Word of God all of the time. And then as some of those jobs can mix, but some of them should never mix. And this is why elders are so important in the Lord's church, as they're governing and looking and inspecting and making sure that the members are healthy. And that deacons are working and taking that labor away from them so they don't have to worry about the physical aspects. And the preachers are preaching and teaching the people that they may grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. So here, these 12, they understood what needed to happen. So they picked these men. And when they picked them and everything was being handled properly, look at verse 7. Then the word of God spread. The number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. It always works out when you do it God's way. It always works out. So I'm going to leave you with some things to consider. What are the roles and responsibilities of deacons? To execute the command of another, the elders. To be servants to the church. To be great attendants, to wait tables and offer food and drink to guests, to supply food and necessities, to collect alms, donations, to provide, to take care of, to distribute, to care for the poor and the sick, to serve one another, to serve another's interests and not their own. That's where many fail, because they always want their own interests to be served and not others. A deacon should be able to do their work without being micromanaged. A deacon should be able to do their work while keeping their life intact with God. And finally, a deacon should be able to do their work with his salvation in mind. I don't know what you expected to hear as it relates to roles and responsibilities, but I figured you would make good application. And you have to ask yourself, am I deacon material? Am I living my life in a way that people can see who I am and possibly even put my name up for a deacon? It's an honor. It's so much of an honor that if your name is put up as a deacon or an elder and your life is not intact, you ought to say no. That's how much of an honor it is. But if your life is intact, Brother Don Walker said one time, y'all might not know him, but he's a great gospel preacher. It's a failure when a man meets the qualifications, yet he doesn't want to do the work. That's a failure. He's right. We all have a desire to do the will of God. We all have the attitude like Jesus had, not my will, but thy will be done. Maybe, just maybe, you want to be a deacon or an elder. We definitely need help. Maybe you can help us. Let's have a word of prayer. I'll offer the invitation and the lesson will be yours. Great God and Father, you're so good to us. You gave us your word. You gave us your son. You gave us remission of sins. You gave us organizational structure. You gave us the church. We're thankful for your church. We're thankful that you loved us enough to give us a group of people to live and dwell with, and to grow with, cry with, and die with. We're thankful for that. Pray to Father that we'll strive to be a people here at Ninth and Main that are always striving to do thy will. We're thankful for the words that you have left in your book that gives us great insight, illustrations, and ideas on what a deacon is. Thankful that you didn't give us a lot of application, but you gave us some things to consider that we may use our minds and use them properly and infer properly, Father. Pray to Father that we have inferred properly this morning, that men will see the type of life that they ought to be living in, are living, and have a desire to fulfill that role and have those responsibilities. We're thankful for the leadership we have here. Pray to Father you continue to be with them, bless their lives, bless their families, help them to have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of thy word. Help us as preachers to do the same. Father, we're thankful for the members here. Pray to Father that you bless every one of them according to your will, that if they're not walking according to your will, that they'll realize that and make it right. Father, we just want to hear those words, well done. That would be enough. We love you, Father. We ask that you continue to bless us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. Just as Jesus gave, through the Spirit and organizational structure of the church, Jesus gave a plan of salvation. You want to be saved. You want to have your sins washed away. You want to be part of a people that have purpose and destination. And you want to be part of that people, the church. You got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You got to believe that. Believe it with all your heart. But got to be willing to repent of your sins, meaning turn away from sin and turn toward God. You have to be willing to confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. You confess him with your mouth. You also confess him with your life. And God will confess you before his Father, which is in heaven. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and God will add you to his son's church. Paul would say it like this in 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 13, for by one spirit you're all baptized into one body. What a blessing to know that when we're baptized into the body, we're baptized into Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Don't you want that? Don't you want to be a servant, a doulos of Christ? Puts you in a position to be a diakonos for Christ. If you're a child of God and you need special prayer, let us do that for you as we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.